To hear the flute, a person has to get in line with that sacrificial vibration. And that's difficult to do if one's basic stance towards life is what do I have coming to me? The answer is nothing, except your own karma. He even says that sometimes when people decide, you know, whatever their trip is, they want money or fame or whatever little trip they're at, power, a momentary extinction through sex, you know, whatever their little trip is to avoid reality, they may have their mind set on some goal that's going to make everything wonderful. And it may not happen. And it's actually said that sometimes when it does not happen, this can be because that being for whom it did not happen took a vow in a previous life that I'm never again going to get involved with this, no matter how alluring it looks. So when it doesn't happen, the personality might feel a disappointment, but the higher self has actually been benefited. Because a person can escape the endless repetitions of the same old story over and over again. Krishna also points out that whatever we do, we've actually chosen Krishna, since he is everywhere. So he benefits everybody. And he says that, as I said before, those who worship the gods go to the gods. You can worship the gods. Go to the gods, you'll be blissed out all the time. There are several modes of contemporary meditation that they don't tell you up front. But they'll give you a mantra, and they tell you if you say this mantra 30 minutes every morning and 30 minutes every night, you'll attain bliss consciousness. And if you say that mantra every morning for 30 minutes and every night for 30 minutes like they ask you to, you will attain bliss consciousness, which means you're now attached to some god or goddess or another. Which means you're going to have a difficult time getting unstuck. But if you worship the gods, you go to the gods. Krishna is, in this sense, Krishna is benevolent. He says if you worship the Pitris, you go to the Pitris. The Pitris are ancestors. They also have to do with lunar aspects of our nature. He says, if you worship the evil spirits, you'll go to the evil spirits. He says, if you worship me, you'll come to me. What does he mean by worship? If we go back to the video camera of my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions and my memories, dreams, hopes and fears in this last 24-hour period, the invisible camera that took a picture of it all. And we played it back. We'd find that there was one thing, we're talking mathematics here, which is what the universe is ultimately about, mathematics. We'd find that there'd be one thing that we worshipped that day more than anything else, simply by virtue of the fact that that one thing is what we thought of the most that day, felt about the most that day, you know, remembered the most about that day. In other words, during any course of any day, there'll be something that was number one in our consciousness. In that sense, that was our object of worship that day. So worship has to be dissociated from churchiness. We're worshiping all the time. It's just the question is what? And most people, of course, are involved in self-worship. I mean, nobody cops to it. You know, I love mankind. It's just particular individuals I can't seem to get along with. Yeah. So it's hard to break the... it's hard to separate the sense of I from a name, George or Marcia or whatever your name is, and the body you're walking around in. You know, because it's actually Krishna. But you think it's me, Barrett, you know, and then look in the mirror and think, yep, that's me, all right. And then that coupled with the kind of the psychological makeup that supports it. You know, the memories, the life history that's been concocted. You know, so we have this whole life history that we can look at, and we can look at this body, and it's the one that's experienced this life history. So we therefore make the rather natural inference that this must be me. And it is. It's the me I think I am. And it's a me that's, according to Krishna, an illusion. Because there is no I connected with this body in this set of psychological characteristics. There's just a body and a set of psychological characteristics. And some faculties that are capable, if used correctly, of refining and bringing in line the out-of-control faculties and characteristics which we've inherited through our own past karma. Which means, from Krishna's standpoint, there is no salvation. Like Krishna doesn't have any favorites. He says that. Has no favorites. He loves everybody. But there's no salvation in Krishna. You're not suddenly going to hear Krishna's flute after leading a life of quiet desperation, and then everything will be happy ever after for you. Those who really wish to know Krishna, he says, have to... this is where it gets tough. They have to withdraw their sense organs and their minds from the world. This doesn't mean that they go into monasteries or convents or something. They're still in the world. They're still using their minds. But they're not identifying with what's going on. They're letting the body do its duties, which are usually right in front of oneself, and they're letting the body do its duties as it understands them, without anxiety or frustration or fear, because we're just talking about motion.